Yo.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right.
Here we are.
How are you? Are you well?
Work's been nuts the last couple of days, but apart from that, I'm well. Oh, and I may well be moving house next week. How exciting.
Hooray! I shared a
Just
video with you this morning.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched it. That's how busy work's been.
It's I thought you might watch on the train or something, but you're probably not on the train, so it's fine.
Been home today.
It's Earthling Ed talking about why, basically breaking down the how the government subsidize rich people to farm land.
Oh yes, okay.
And it's obviously Earthling Ed doing it, which means that it's easy to understand, concise, and tangible. I love tangible. That's a good word. I found a
Ooh,
word a few
tangible.
months ago, and I've been waiting to use it. There we go.
Well done.
So yeah, it's nice to hear him speak again, but just around something that I didn't really understand. And I think it's like we've spoke about before about when people throw a carnist argument at you, not knowing how to respond. And although I probably still don't, I have a bit more
I know
information
what you mean.
from video, you know what I mean? So that
Yes.
was quite good. But yeah, apart from that, there's also, I remember at vegan camp out there was the Bosch boys were talking about like how we see the news reports these days of headlines of forest fires and stuff. And it's like become an acceptable norm that, oh, look, there's forest fires in Canada or somewhere else. And you're like, all right, there's another forest fire because that's a normal thing. And
Yes.
then I saw yesterday a rainstorms to hit Britain of biblical proportions. I thought, here we go. Who's building the
Oh.
amok?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that. I'll get some new wellies. And we were talking at work today about the current conflict in Israel and Palestine,
Yes.
and how there's, if you're looking at it pessimistically, there's the possibility of it escalating across the whole region and then becoming a global issue if the US steps in, etc. And
Yeah.
then, what if there's, nuclear weapons used? And I said, in much the same vein as a lot of chats that you and I have had on the pod and off the pod, oh, it'll be all right when humanity's gone anyway. And everyone sort of looked at me like, what? I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. This is work, not just chatting to Wes.
But anyway, we have someone entered the room already.
We haven't even said who our guests are.
You
This
better
is
crack on then.
exciting. Hopefully you will have guessed it by the title, but I'm so excited. We're so excited because we saw them at Vegan Camp Out. Maybe you did too. Our guests today are the vegan queens.
Hello,
Hey.
love.
Hello, love. You're right.
Yeah, very well. How are you?
Not so bad, Cock. I'm not so bad.
Oh, I've missed you this. We've
Oh,
not seen each
thanks,
other
love.
for a few weeks, by the way.
Oh, a few weeks.
Yeah, Stuart's just moved to a different city. So it
Oh,
now it's
wow.
become even more difficult for us to kind of see each other. But we're both a pair of loners anyway. We're like, are you all
Oh.
right? And what's that? Yeah, I'm fine. Good. Talk to you in a month.
It's true, it's true.
Are you still in the Northwest, Stuart? Because you're both sort of, are you both Manx or Mancunian? Sorry, to be more polite.
Yeah,
Well,
no,
to be
go
very
on.
specific, Stuart is a Rochdalian.
Oh,
Oh,
okay. Hello.
and I am an Aldermer.
Oh
Wow.
wow, that's even closer. Wes, tell us where you are.
So I am originally from Northampton, which is where Matthew's from, but I currently, well, we moved to Rochdale or Littleborough in 2017. So I'm just around the corner
Ah,
from you guys.
very
Oh,
nice.
wow. This isn't some weird way of revealing that he's your stalker, by the way. That's completely.
To be honest, I'd welcome the attention, so it's fine.
Brilliant. Anyway, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us. We saw you at Vegan Camp Out. That was both of our first encounter with you. We were absolutely blown away. Absolutely laughed our socks off. Just incredible performance. And I, the highlight for me was when I think Gem and I, when you asked if there were any non-vegans in the audience, and a few people like timidly put their hands up, and then you were like, come on, love, come on.
Come on.
Absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. What we like to do here is we just like to find out how people live their lives as vegans. Obviously, you have your drag act, the Vegan Queens, but also a life outside of that. So we kind of want to dig into all of that if you're up for that. But tell us first about the Vegan Queens. What's the background there?
The origin story.
Yes. Yeah, we'll sell it to Marvel.
Absolutely. Do you want to explain this, Mother? Because it kind of came from your your womb, as it were, your metaphorical womb.
Right. So, well, I, as a 54-year-old now, I started drag at 13 years old, and have done several incarnations throughout the years. And the same with Stuart. He'd done several things too. And I'd kind of put Gemini on a back burner, because at the time I was hosting a TV show on a channel in Manchester. That's Manchester. I was hosting a TV show called Now We're Talking. So there we are, 2016. We're on the run up to Manchester Pride. And I just thought, oh, do you know what? Because I used to have a couple of guests on the show. I said, do you know what? It'd be fantastic if me and you got in drag, Stuart, and I'll get Lucy Lush and Cleo Lush, two other Manchester drag queens, as guests, and we'll do a pre-Pride special. And we did. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And the Vegan Queens, as we called ourselves, really gelled. And our kind of backstory about being on the run from Putin, because my asthma is Putin's love child. It's awful. It's awful to say now with you know, what a time it's turned out to be. But when he was a young man, he were all right, you know.
As I found, and he was on the horse with no top on. Germany.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see why she was attracted, can't you? And you can't choose your parents. This is the thing.
So we did that show. We filmed for like 2 hours. And then on the way back in the car, I just said, Stuart, shall we? Shall we like keep it up? Because I, you know, I'd had something done to my teeth, which made me feel a lot better about them. And it was my first time in drag for about 7-8 years. And I just loved it. And Stuart said, oh, go on then. Why not? And here we are.
years later. And that's the mystique behind the birth of the Vegan Queens. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I love that. So you said at Vegan Camp Out that was the biggest crowd you'd performed to, I think. So
absolutely.
What's the normal sort of circuit for you then, I guess? Where would we normally find you performing?
Oh, you can find us anywhere where folk have got the money at the ready. No, that's not true. no, we do all sorts. We have quite a varied kind of schedule, really. You know, we do a lot around Pride season. That's quite a big passion project for us, because particularly smaller community prides, which we're really like passionate advocates for, you know, not putting your celebrities front and center, but the people that are actually in the community. That's really important to us. And of course, spreading the vegan message while we're at it. We do a lot of charity things, some corporate stuff, private stuff. We'll kind of go anywhere where we feel like people are up for a laugh and a bit receptive to the message. So,
I'd like to add a wrinkle there. We'll go anywhere we feel safe.
Yes. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's a good show.
And I only mention that because just last year we did our first drag queen story time in what's that place called, Stuart, in Rochdale?
We were in Haywood for that, so sort of halfway between, on the way to Bury, for anyone who's local.
What's the festival called though? It's
you put me on the spot now.
Sorry, love.
It's through an organisation called Cartwheel Arts. So we'll mention them so they can get a few clicks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and we did this drag queen story time. The kids loved us. Oh my God, they loved us.
Yeah.
And of course, we were, because we can be fierce, sassy, and filthy queens, but we can also read stories to kids. That's the joy of being an actor. You can have different personas.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we did this and it was beautiful. And then Didsbury Pride asked if we would go and do a story session there. We said, yes, we would love to again. And then this couple of women on the Didsbury Pride page on Facebook, they were calling us groomers and paedophiles. And we were disgusting and despicable. And how could they allow us, filthy, dirty us, to be around kids?
No way.
And this went on, and I kind of get that the admin of the page left it there because suddenly the thread had hundreds of comments and there were dozens of people defending us and saying disgusted with these two women. And in the end, we pulled out. Because there was no guarantee that those women or the group that they were affiliated with weren't going to show up with banners. And I said to Stuart, Gemini and Miasma cannot allow kids to have to walk through that kind of hate just to hear a story. It's the first, the first and only gig we've ever pulled out of. But we didn't feel safe, and we certainly weren't going to allow kids to experience that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What a shame that you have to be put in that position.
Oh, it's horrible. It was horrible. Yeah, it really was a horrible couple of weeks.
So that was actually in a Facebook group. It was actually posted in a Pride Facebook group.
It was on the official Didsbury Pride Facebook page. It's still there to this day. He's never taken it all down.
That's it's incredible.
Yeah, it's still all there. So if you fancy going having a look, look for the announcement that the story time last year, and you'll find the honestly horrendous comments.
Yeah.
I
was going to ask you about that because sort of earlier this year, in America, there was a lot of talk around drag acts being banned in various states and around, you know, all those talk. And yet no one ever mentions, when they talk about grooming, no one ever mentions like Cub Scouts or the church, do they? It's always, you know.
Sure, drag
acts. Absolutely bizarre.
Absolutely. It's almost like there's an agenda behind it, isn't it? You know.
almost. So, yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, what the, if there's been any implications here, but you've brought it up anyway, which, and it's just it's really sickening. And as I feel like, as vegans, you know, we a lot of our focus is on the animals, obviously, but also it's not just about animals being equal to humans; it's about humans being equal to each other. I feel like that's the way I kind of
absolutely, you know, I mean, I think
project.
Sure, we come from kind of the point of view that if your veganism's not intersectional, it's not actually veganism. You know, we either treat everybody, every sentient being well, or we have no right to claim that label. So,
yeah, absolutely, that's it. Yeah, you can't pick and choose.
No, you can't.
Okay,
I'm sorry you had to go through that. I think it's disgraceful. I don't think, but in this day and age, people shouldn't be being like that with each other. I know there's people out there, but it just shouldn't happen.
Can I be political for a moment?
Yeah.
While you have people like Trump on such a pedestal in America with his constantly his narcissistic outlook, because everything's about him. And the more that he can project onto, these are your problem. It's the queers and the Mexicans and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, you've got people like him in power. So while this is part of our culture, while people are voting for this, then this kind of hate is normalized. It's accepted. Yeah. It's fine. I can hate people because he does.
That's it. It emboldens people to react in a way that they think they know that they shouldn't, but they want to. And so they think, well, like you say, if it's right for the government to say it or the president to say it, then I'm gonna push it. And it's absolutely horrendous.
Linking in with that. Sorry, I talk a lot. I'll sit back in a minute.
Let's No. That's why we've got you on.
We've been getting a lot of... So Stuart and I are the vegan queens, and my husband Jason and I are those vegan guys. We both have YouTube channels. We both have Instagram accounts. And on those vegan guys channel, I do a lot of little shorts about veganism. And one of the things that's been coming up a lot recently is, oh my goodness, all the small animals that you vegans harvesting your vegetables. Because vegans are the only people in the world who eat vegetables. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know it had an origin, this.
Oh,
okay.
Ted Nugent on the, what's he called? I quite fancy him, but he's an asshole.
That could be literally anybody.
That doesn't narrow it down.
UFC,
Joe,
did you say?
Yeah, Joe, UFC presenter, Joe
Thing, yeah.
Does anyone know who I mean?
Is it Joe Rogan?
Joe Rogan, thank you.
Rogan.
Okay.
Ted Nugent on the Joe Rogan show started that whole myth.
Wow.
He said vegans are responsible for millions more deaths of small animals. His words from his mouth on that show, and that's where it comes from.
Wow.
Again, emboldening people. Well, he said it on there, so it must be
fact.
Right.
Yeah. That just shows the power of saying something on a podcast that millions of people listen to. So now that you've been on here, that will clear that up.
Literally like David and Goliath.
Yes, yeah. Oh dear. So tell us about those vegan guys as well. I know that's a bit of a tangent, but you mentioned you've got a separate channel.
I roped my husband into it. He wasn't for it. I've always been the kind of, you know, put yourself out there and make videos and stuff. But when we first went vegan, after our first like couple to three years, and I just said to him one day, you know, this has been a real journey because we've been vegan 10 years now. So
congratulations.
The supermarkets have way more than they did then.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do my main shop at Holland and Barrett. That's how old a vegan I am. So I said to Jason, look, we found this quite tough, and I should imagine that people new on the journey are going to find it quite tough. Why don't we do a little YouTube channel, and we can just do shopping vlogs and easy recipes and that kind of stuff? And he was like, yeah, all right then. And 7 years later, we've got over 15,000 subscribers. We love our channel. We've got the most beautiful community that come to every live stream we do and chat and just support each other and encourage each other, and it's become a massive part of our lives. I am exactly one half TVG, those vegan guys, and one half the vegan queens, with a little sliver of Paul in the middle.
That's a really difficult like stick of rock. If you were to cut yourself in half, how the hell are they going to make that?
But it does say vegan all the way through.
Love it.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. How about you, Stuart? What's your side hustle apart from the vegan queens?
What's my side hustle? No. So I'm a university lecturer. So I run a degree program. Which is very little to do with veganism, to be fair, but I always try and slip it in there when I can, lest I be accused of being a lefty lecturer influencing our young people.
Can I just say, Stuart, that's your job. Not
yes.
Watch your side arm. He has a YouTube channel, I know.
Oh, I've got a side arm as well. I do have my own. Thank you very much. Thanks for reminding me. She does all my promo. So, yes, I have a library. I have a channel called The Library is Open where I talk about books and reading. And we have, quite a smaller community. And we have a book club every couple of months and people from all over the world, which is lovely. Again, a little bit of the community that we've built in our little corner of the internet. You know, just connecting with people. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? And that's how we spread our respective messages and find our kinfolk, as it were.
I love it. Yes, that's it. You know, you got to find your tribe one way or the other. And certainly social media helps a lot with that, doesn't it? We've certainly found new friends just through doing this, either from guests or listeners who have got in touch.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Okay, so we got you here to talk about how you live as vegans. So, Stuart, let's start with you. What's your vegan story?
My vegan story is very closely tied to Paul/Gemini's.
Oh, okay, fine.
The aforementioned stick of rock. So we were both vegetarian. Well, I was vegetarian, as was Paul, when we met. We've known each other for years and years now. I would consider Paul/Gemini my best friends because they are separate entities. And you know, and so she's not only my drag mother, but we were both vegetarian. And then when Paul and Jason made the decision to go vegan, it's quite a basic story. There's no huge revelation or movie of the week. And you rang me, didn't you? And said, we're going vegan. And I went, yeah, all right, I'll do that as well.
And just like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
I don't know whether that means I'm easily influenced or just really true in my heart, and I was waiting for someone to release it in me.
Just needed that little push just to get you over the line. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Never regretted it though. Absolutely. It's from kind of day one. It was like, oh yeah, this is exactly what I should be doing. So, you know, and I have to thank my mother for bringing me to that.
Yeah. So what was it that pushed you over the line then and got you to convince? Vegucated. Oh, that's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know, I've not seen that one. Have you seen that one, Wes?
No, my friend. It's a really good story. It's three people in New York challenged to go vegan for 6 months, and it's their journey.
Oh, wow.
But there's still some harsh stuff in it.
So
I'm going to take you back, though, first, because there is a beautiful and very talented poet in Manchester, also vegan, called Dominic Berry.
Oh, right.
Now, I used to post on my Facebook page about, oh, I've made a cracking bowl of egg mayonnaise with happy eggs.
Right. Oh,
you
happy. Know?
Yeah,
happy
exactly.
Yeah.
And Dominic, very, very gently, kept saying to me, Paul, you should look into those eggs because they're really not happy. Oh, and I was like, oh, it says it. I've seen the adverts. I've seen them running around in the field. Shut up.
Yeah.
I like egg mayonnaise. Do you know?
Yeah.
And then my other friend Lee said, I've watched this brilliant documentary on Netflix called Vegucated. You should watch it. So I watched it. And it impacted me. It must have really impacted me because in my day job, I'm a support worker. And I was working with this one guy and I told him about this documentary. I said, do you know what? It's pretty harsh and it's still playing on my mind. And he said, will you watch it with me again now?
Oh, wow.
And I said, yeah, of course I will. It broke me.
Really? The second time round?
Yeah. Second time round, it finally. I think I was seeing it through his eyes as well.
Okay.
And I think that helped strangely. But it broke me. And I came home and said to Jason, we're going vegan. That's it. I can't do this anymore. Phone my friend Debbie. I said, you'll want to come round with a shopping bag. I've loads of corn in the freezer. It's going. The what of it? At that time, it was all vegetarian. They didn't do anything.
Yes, it was. It all had egg in, didn't it?
Yeah, yes. Everything. So I gave everything away, went to Holland Barrett the next day, was like, oh, vegan cheese. I'll try that. Big mistake.
Oh, God. Vegan, yeah.
Boy, cheese for a month.
Yes, absolutely. Minimum.
Then yeah, try
absolutely. 100%.
But yes, went vegan. I made one mistake about a month later. I bought, I'll never forget this, a no moo milkshake from Holland and Barrett, said dairy free. Drinking it away, and I was like, this is really sweet honey.
Oh, God.
Hadn't
Who
even
puts honey
thought...
in a milkshake?
Yeah. So the milkshake got me about a month in, and since then, nothing from an animal has ever passed these lips. And never will again. Or on my skin, or on my body, or in my home. Shh. Done.
That's it. Brilliant.
Yeah. I could never go. Besides, I love being vegan. I love cooking, and I'm a good cook.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm owning that. I am a good cook. I love
yeah, you
cooking.
Should own that,
I have never been as adventurous as I am now as a vegan. Now I'm cooking it. I have to be careful how I say this because Google translates it as something completely different. African peanut stew.
What on earth could it be translating that as?
I'll just tell you that.
Yeah.
We'll leave that to your imaginations and your indeed your accents.
There's nothing better than a hunk of prime Labrador steak, wonderfully marbled. And that is almost entirely dependent on how it's produced. Elwood's Organic Dog Meat has complete control of this entire journey. So I'm here at Elwood's Farm to find out a little more about it.
Welcome to Elwood Farms.
Thank you very much, Elwood.
I hear you do a bit of barbecuing.
I do a little bit of barbecuing every now and then, yes.
From a chef's point of view, consistency is key for everything.
It doesn't matter if it's a Rottweiler ribeye, a Pyrenees mince, or a lab sirloin.
You can always tell when the dog comes from a place where it was well reared. And every step has to be right, doesn't it? Oh, you should see these guys. So, from an Elwood's point of view, there's complete traceability.
Absolutely. Unrivaled traceability, so it's fine.
Every single piece of dog meat?
Yeah, from pub to farmer's market.
Everything the dog's been fed?
Everything about it.
For each dog?
Yeah. Only Marks and Spencer's and Whole Foods do this.
Where else can people order from?
From elwooddogmeat.com. That's ELWOOD dogmeat.com.
For top quality meat from dogs for people. Meat that's local, sustainable, and humanely harvested. There's only Elwood's Organic Dog Meat.
They seem pretty friendly, don't they? It's more responsive to me than my kids, to be honest.
So what was the biggest struggle you two found when you both went vegan?
Oh, it's a good question.
That is a very good question. At first, for me, shopping and eating out. But they're not problems anymore, either of them. But at first, holidays. I've lived on chips and salad on holiday.
Yes, I did that this summer. It's a real shock to your system, isn't it? Because you get used to, you know, like you've said, there's so much selection in supermarkets, restaurants here in the UK, especially wherever you go, there's always something. You go abroad and it's a completely different story, isn't it?
It's
weird. We do quite well in this country. We talked about this, didn't we, love? Because I was in the States a couple of years running for work. They paid. I don't have a shishi around the world lifestyle. You know what I mean? Yeah. So New York was absolutely fine, as you would expect. You know, New York, global city, makes sense. Well, I went to Chicago, and it was a nightmare trying to find food.
Really?
Absolutely. Wow. You get used to just being able to nip to the Tesco in this country, don't you? And go, there will be something that you can eat or whatever, or the milk's readily available. Really, really difficult.
How frustrating. You know? How long has it been since I've been to America? I think 2.5 years. And it was for restaurants, that was for work as well, before anyone gets excited. But for restaurants, it was either a vegan restaurant or a not vegan restaurant. There was no, like, here, if you went to like Prezzo or somewhere like that, you would, you know, there's at least a vegan dish. Sure. There was none of that. There was one. We went in a bar and they did the Impossible Burger, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
With cheese on it, like cow cheese.
But they do things like that, like at the
Starbucks.
I know, at the Starbucks. went to the Starbucks in Chicago, and I nearly got, you know, like they do the breakfast sandwich over here that's all vegan sort of thing.
Mm.
But in Chicago, the meat is not meat, but everything else on it is not vegan. And again, you just sort of go, what's the point? What's the point of this?
Who is this for?
Side point of paper straw in a plastic cup, isn't it?
Yes.
I think something else we found very difficult at the start as well, from a drag queen perspective. It was difficult finding out which brands of makeup would be included.
Oh, wow, yeah.
But
yes.
Now, most of them are. That's the wonderful thing. This last 10 years has been incredible for change. But probably the biggest issue was shoes, because we're both big girls. We've got size 8 feet. We're not dainty. We compromised by only when we first started, everything we wore was secondhand. That was our
okay.
This is all charity shop stuff. And now there are vegan shoe companies that do exactly the kind of shoes that the vegan queens wear. So now it's so much easier, but then it were dreadful.
We're deliberately not naming them yet because they won't respond to our request for a paid partnership. So when they do, then we'll name them.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's fair. That's fair.
tip for tat and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can I mention a vegan makeup brand?
Because yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Well, VE Cosmetics. Two queens you know might be working on a palette with them. Might be coming out at some point in the future. And it might be being called Dragtivist.
I love that.
But Lindsay from BE Cosmetics, her stuff is
beautiful.
Completely 100% vegan and cruelty free. And she's just won an award, actually.
Right.
Yeah. And it's just her.
Yeah. Nice to support, small businesses as well, particularly vegan small businesses. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Sick. Oh, that's exciting.
We wanted an exclusive. We've got one.
There you go.
There we are. So one of the things that we normally ask is of our guests is, what's your favourite vegan product? And probably 99% of the answers that we've had have been food. But I really wanted to ask you about not food stuff, but like your makeup and all that kind of stuff, because that's not really something that we've explored. As you can see, neither of us have got much call for hairspray. We probably do have quite a lot of call for makeup, especially under the eye bags, but but not certainly not hairspray. So how have you sort of settled on particular brands? There's been a lot of trial and error, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I do have one vegan favorite vegan makeup product that I couldn't live without and that I will never compromise anymore. And that's KVD Roxy Tattoo Lip Liner.
Oh.
Roxy is the color. It's like purple. It's the absolute best lip liner. Yeah, I'm talking 41 years of drag here. It's the best lip liner Gemini has ever, ever, ever used. Not sponsors. They've never given me a freebie, but the lip liner is amazing.
Brilliant.
Wow.
There you go, another exclusive. I'm a big fan of, there's a company called Elf who do makeup and skincare stuff as well. I'm a really big fan of their stuff for skin, you know, because obviously caking that stuff. Well, I mean, not us. We just do a tinted moisturizer and a bit of a lip seal.
Barely wear any makeup.
I was going to say, you don't need to.
Oh, no,
tinted moisturizer and a chapstick, and we're out the door.
We're out the door 2 minutes. But if we did, what I would say is it's really good, obviously, to take care of your skin, and all their stuff is vegan and cruelty free and very cheap as well, which is important.
Yes. Oh, that makes a big difference. Often you can pay way over the odds for vegan or cruelty free, as if I know. Absolutely. But I know that's something my wife's encountered before. Is that, you know, you want to go for the vegan and cruelty free option, but it's often it may be a product that a major brand have launched, but the brand isn't cruelty free themselves. It's just a one off.
That's why places like Superdrug are a gold mine.
Yeah. Okay.
Because most of the makeup, particularly
Superdrug,
which is Revolution, is all vegan and cruelty free. My makeup bag is stuffed with Revolution stuff. And
all bits.
Methods, of course.
Naturally.
Yes. Yeah. Fantastic. All right. So, what did your friends and family think when you first went vegan then? What was their reaction? Obviously, you've been vegetarian already, so it's not such a giant leap, I suppose, but it's still fairly major, isn't it?
Yeah. Receptive as a general rule, which is a really good thing in terms of, I never sort of felt like I've had to justify myself to people, which is lovely, because that's often the thing, isn't it? You know, you were talking about, you know, vegan hashtag vegan struggles earlier, which is sometimes you end up sort of, and it's fine, but becoming a sort of advocate or information point for people, which is lovely, because sometimes you can change people's minds, but then you're always sort of like, I've got to say the right thing here. And sometimes I don't always know the answers. You know, I only know, you know, my ethics. I think of it as like an ethical moral issue, you know what I mean? Generally, and then there's a slight downside to that as well, not to get melancholy, is because you end up sort of going, oh, you're such a good person, and you supporting me being vegan, and I wish you could make that connection as well.
So much that is core to my day every day. I totally get that.
Yeah, so many people who are just so kind-hearted, so generous, believe in almost everything the same except for death on the plate.
Yeah,
and
you're
just like, why can't you see?
I've said that before, haven't I? I work in peer support for a dad charity. I've got my t-shirt on Dad Matters, but I work with people that are full of empathy. That's what we do. We give empathy out. You try telling them about veganism and they just don't get it. It's so frustrating.
The awful thing is that we are all of us, every single one of us, not in a malicious way, but by our parents and by the world, we are indoctrinated into the normal way of animal agriculture, and milk is good for you, and meat builds muscles, and blah, 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 and all this crap, really, that's fed to us so that we continue to fund the farmers. It's ridiculous, and it takes a hell of a lot and a real kind of strength of spirit to stand outside all of that and look in and see, oh my God, this is wrong. This is so wrong.
Yeah,
but it takes a lot to do that, and first you've got to want to do it, but wanting to do it doesn't necessarily guarantee that you have the strength to do it. So it's a double fold thing. You've got to want to, and then because it hits hard, it hit me hard. I will never ever get over the fact that I've eaten lambs. it mortified me. So I have to not think about it because I'm like, yeah, but you don't know.
That's
you
it.
Don't know.
Because you did it until you knew better.
Maya Angelou. She said that.
Oh, actually. Really?
Yeah, when you know better, you do better. It's something like that, isn't it? Yeah.
Awesome.
I thought I'd just come up with that.
You can have it if you want it.
So on that track, on that train of thought, how do you think things have changed for you? Like, we say physically and mentally, but obviously that's a big mental challenge. So do you think that you saw any changes physically or mentally when you went vegan?
Too hard, I'm leaving a gap for you.
Oh, sorry, I was leaving a gap for you. I was just
you're so polite, you two.
Yeah, I think probably more intellectually, I guess, in terms of it's kind of just strengthened my, I hope, critical thinking skills, which, you know, I think it's really important to me to sort of be able to look at all situations with the same level of, I guess, rigor and unpacking and not just taking anything as what it's presented to you as Paul/Gemini just said then, in terms of, you know, not just taking what you've grown up with and you know, and that's a lifelong thing as well, because, you know, I think we all, I can only speak for me, find, you know, you get thoughts in life, don't you? Do you know what I mean? Where you just go, oh, and that's just the truth because that's always been the truth. About it couldn't just be something about really banal, and then you just go, but where did that come from? That's not an intrinsic belief that I was born with, so where did it come from? So I think it's been really helpful for that, just to keep sort of questioning everything, not in like a tinfoil hat way. You know,
you do look very fetching in a tinfoil
hat. I do look very fetching in a tinfoil hat, yeah, but no. So yeah, I think probably that's just kind of strengthened that for me.
Yeah, I like that. That's something that, I can't remember who it was now, that's awful, but one of our guests said something similar. You know, if you can question the food on your plate and the clothes that you wear, what else can you change your outlook on?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, see, the thing, Stuart and I have always been rights fighters. Before we formed the Vegan Queens, we ran a theatre company together called Pink Triangle Theatre, and we travelled around schools and prisons and workplaces, and it was a message. The core of the show, which is on YouTube, it's called Show One, by Pink Triangle Theatre. You can easily find it. Very powerful little piece of theatre about acceptance and about tackling homophobia. So we've always been rights fighters. There's a reason I'm saying that. That's always been a core of us. And I think because of that, empathy has always been a core of us. Because when we read the stories about Gisberta, for example, a Portuguese transgender prostitute, who was brutally murdered by 14 boys, little boys, who lived in an orphanage run by the church, and nothing ever happened to any of them. Mind you, they were little boys, but still. These things, you have to kind of protect yourselves from them a little bit, because if you feel them too much, they can be debilitating. However, I think because of becoming vegan, my empathy has fine-tuned now to the point where I can be stood behind someone in the co-op bank and get a vibe like, oh, she's not all right. She's not okay.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do about it, but I kind of, I feel people better now than I ever have. And I was always okay at it, but now it's like, it's a core thing, and it's something that I have to carefully maintain, because if I let it go too far, then I just become an emotional wreck. Mm-hmm. Because the world's a dark place, you know, it's a dark place. And I think when you're a vegan, you see that there are wars going on in the world, and you see that there are dangerous narcissists on pedestals, and you see that people are being demonized for their for their gender dysphoria or their sexuality or the colour of their skin or where they came from or the size, or you see all this and all you can do is say, I'm not going to be part of that. I will never judge you for any of those reasons. Mm-hmm. If you're horrible to me, if you're cruel and nasty to me, then I'll judge you. Then I have the right to.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, no judgment here, just empathy. Maintain.
And empathy is a really difficult thing. I've learned that, particularly over the last couple of years, that it's a great characteristic, but it's also, it's like a curse. Because like you say, you feel other people, you feel energy off of people. And when you're, vegan camp out's a typical example where you're surrounded by people. If you're in a music venue, but there's lots of people around you, it's tiring just by having so many people near you. It's really draining. That's why you need the vibes. You need the vibes to be positive.
Absolutely. And I think that's why us being on the stage at vegan camp out was so powerful. Because there was nothing but love. Yeah. Nothing but love. From
and it was
a few thousand people, it felt like.
It was jam-packed, that tent, wasn't it? Absolutely jam-packed. We were squeezed right up at the side, weren't we, Wes? And it was
never felt anything like that in my life. And it was beautiful. And
yeah, really special.
Beautiful.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That was such an experience. I mean, I've never seen a drag show before. Probably my own fault. 45, I've never seeking out a drag show, but it was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, well, were you your first drag show?
You were. I was a drag show virgin up until that point.
Excellent.
Terry Jenner popped his cherry.
Jenner, I'm delighted when I tell
her. So just to go back one step, Pink Triangle Theatre, was that because of the symbol that the Nazis made LGBT people wear during the Holocaust?
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, I like that. So you're reclaiming it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we worked at that for 10 years. It was a big chunk of our lives. And the work that we did was powerful. And the feedback slips that we got from the kids that we performed to in schools, the feedback was incredible, because we tackled things. At the time we were doing Pink Triangle Theatre, gay was one of those things that all the school kids were saying, oh my God, that's so gay, without even knowing
what everything
that was.
Yeah.
So then we turn up and say, honey, her new shoes ain't gay. I am. You got a problem with it? That's Love not that. What the show was. But that kind of message of the show, do you know what I mean? And we made them laugh, and we made them uncomfortable, and we made them think, and it was amazing, powerful work. I miss it dearly, but all good things.
Yeah, that's it. Fantastic. You mentioned vegan camp out then. Is there any chance of you being back there next year?
Well, no, we're not bothering, are we?
No, I can't be
forced. Go out on a high. Love it. You're hosting. Tell us about that. This is so exciting.
Very exciting. I didn't know what we were allowed to say, so I thought if I let her say it, then she's the one
in charge. It's her fault.
Jordan's given us the freedom to talk about it openly now.
Yeah. Very, very excited. So thank you, love. We'll share. You take over if I do something wrong. we've spoken with Jordan, and you know, VCO as an organization, and they have very kindly invited us to host the cabaret drag tent. So we'll be there providing entertainment and a platform for other vegan artists all weekend. So we're really excited. We're playing it down, but we're well excited.
Happy Sunday night from 8 p.m. till midnight. The Mind and Body tent will become Mind and Body After Dark. And there will be an open stage. If anybody wants to, if anyone's got a guitar and they want to come and sing one of their own songs, if anybody wants to bring some karaoke tunes on a USB stick, whatever will make it work. The Vegan Queens are going to be doing a little bit every hour, and then hopefully getting you lot up on the stage.
Absolutely. Veganism's Got Talent. You know, that's what's...
Oh, that's yeah. Going. How about that?
VGT, I like it.
Yeah.
I love that. That is so exciting. So exciting. Yeah. That is going to be very popular, I'm sure.
Oh, we hope so.
Yeah. Have they announced who's on the bill for next year?
I haven't seen anything yet. The Vegan Queens are on, and they're fans.
Yeah, there we go. Top of the bill.
Do you need anyone else?
It's just you two for the whole weekend.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, though. Wasn't it a wonderful festival this year?
It was.
It was a great lineup. Ramesh was absolutely fantastic. And for me, one that really surprised me was Tash Peterson. She made me cry, and you know, a young woman hasn't done that to me for many a year, but she made me cry. She was so so passionate, and just an incredible presentation she gave.
Well, that's just the thing, isn't it? I mean, it was a huge space filled with nothing but love, empathy, compassion, and friendship.
Yes,
that was it. That's all. It was a beautiful space to be in. I cried when I got home. Of course, it didn't. Last time I went to Vegan Camp Out, I cried on the way home, because on the way home, we went past all these fields filled with animals, and I just spent a weekend in a vegan village, and I bawled all the way home. This time, it didn't hit me until the day after. The day after, my God, collapsed in a heap on kitchen floor. Rocking.
It is such a downer when you come back, isn't it? Because you spend that weekend where everyone's obviously everyone's either vegan or curious, aren't they? And all the food's vegan, and everything's like how the world should be.
It's a glimpse of what it's a little slice of what a vegan world would look like.
Yes,
isn't it? I know we're all intense and stuff, but still, you know.
Yes,
this is what a vegan village would be.
Yeah.
That's why it's so wonderful.
Yeah.
And so clean afterwards. You know, do you see all the photos they put up? Like, clean afterwards. Yeah.
I love it. They do it every year now, don't they? This was our empty field compared to like the Reading Festival or wherever.
Oh, yeah. Filth.
And all
filth.
The discarded tents and rubbish everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't get those big festivals where people leave the tents. It's like, have you got money to burn?
Do you know what I mean?
Well, there must have...
Cost of living crisis on, isn't there? Do you know what I mean? We're just wantonly throwing away canvas.
Yeah. It's not even like it's cheap to get to those festivals, is it? Like, Glastonbury's about 300 quid now, isn't it?
I know, yeah. It's
and then you're
going to
spend money on a tent and chuck it anyway.
Here's the rub. We live in a disposable society.
Yes,
everything has become disposable now. Use it once, get rid of it. Use it once, get rid of it. Because we're vegans, all of us, we come from a very different perspective. We're all about conservation and how can we make things last and how can we make things better. Mm-hmm. So,
you're right. Absolutely right.
So on that note, what's the best thing about being vegan?
Oh, the sense of superiority. No, that's not
true.
No, I think, you know, not to get too much, I think genuinely thinking, you know, when you've had a bad day, we all have bad days and things get us down and so on and so forth. But just remembering, you know, you've got a lot of things on your mind, whatever, you go to bed and you think, actually, I've done something really positive today and continue to do something really positive for, like, the world and the future of our planet. And that is a comfort to me, you know, sometimes when things are a bit tricky, I think.
Totally get that. And I'll shrink that down into one word, my conscience.
Oh, yeah.
My conscience is as clear as it can be. because as far as is practicable and possible, other than when it comes to things like medicines, every single thing I have researched and made sure is that 100% vegan and cruelty-free. Everything other than medicine. And hopefully we'll get to a point one day when the world is at such a place where the demand for medicines that have not been tested on animals is much more at the forefront. Unfortunately, we're not quite there yet. And if I have an infection, I'm taking the antibiotics. You know,
you don't have a choice, do you? And it's a legislation that means that things have to be tested on animals before they can be used on humans, isn't it? So you're a bit, we're stuck with that.
We are, and we can't fight for the animals if we're not fighting fit as well. So,
exactly,
you know,
that's it. Yeah. And then it would just give more weight to the argument that vegans are all weak and feeble if every time we got ill, we all died. So,
don't know why I laughed then. I don't know why I laughed.
Oh, Dave got ill. He's died.
Yeah. That's it. It's because he's vegan. What advice would you give to anyone who's thinking of going vegan?
You go first, love. I'll percolate a thought.
Depending on where you are in the world, let's just say, for example, that you live in England or the United Kingdom and you're thinking about going vegan. You've probably never looked at vegan stuff in the supermarkets because why would you have? You've been focused on the things you buy. So find some shopping vlogs on the YouTube that take you around all the big supermarkets and show you what the vegan stuff is, what it looks like, where it is, how much it is. And then you can maybe go, oh, right, I've watched three now. That supermarket seems to be the best option for me. So write your little list and start. If you need to start slowly, start slowly, but do it with purpose. Don't do what, I have to tell you this story because it infuriated me. One of our subscribers said they'd been vegan for 2 years and then emailed me and said, I've been vegan for 2 years now, Paul, thanks to your channel. I have a bit of cheese now and again, but I know you won't judge me for that. And I had to email back and say, I
am judging you, mate.
I'm trying to be as polite as I can. But
oh my God.
What you are is mostly plant-based.
Yeah.
Because if you were vegan, you wouldn't even consider picking up a block of cheese, knowing the amount of cruelty and abuse that it's led to you know. She responded back and apologised and said, I shouldn't have even said that. It was a stupid thing to say. Of course I'm not vegan. I, do you know, I'm going to cut the cheese. I'm going to cut it. I promise I will. I haven't heard from her since. But, it's, if you're going to do it, do it. There is no, oh, well, I'll just have a milkshake now and again. There is no, I have a burger now and again when I go out with friends.
If there's no vegan, cheat days.
No, absolutely not, because the cheat days means planetary destruction, rainforest decimation, animal abuse and torture and slaughter against their will. And there is nothing you can do or say will change that.
No. And cheat days shows that you're thinking of it like a diet. It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. Absolutely. You can have a plant-based diet, but that doesn't mean you're vegan.
No. No, no.
It's a big part of it, but it's not everything.
So yeah, I would say to people, if you set on it, do your research. There's loads of there's stuff out there. The Vegan Society have got great resources for new vegans. Generation Vegan have got great resources. Veganuary have got great resources. They will all help you, all of them. If you're more a YouTube person, check out those vegan guys. You might like us. I've written a free ebook called Down to Earth Vegan, which is a guide to going vegan, and is full of my own down to earth recipes. And it's free. It's a PDF. You can just download it from my website. So there's loads of stuff out there to help you on your vegan journey. And if you're going to start, oh, thank you. like from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll see you in the aisles. Do not fight me for the yellow stick and vegan stuff because I'll win.
She will win. She is vicious when cornered.
Oh, brilliant. I love that.
So, Stuart, you've had time to think of a
yeah, that's a hell answer. Of a percolation, that is.
Yeah, it's not as good. I won't lie to you. You can swap these around in the edit if you want. That's fine. But I give you permission. But yeah, just kind of an A and B, really, just to pick up on what my mother said there. If you are doing it with purpose and you do make an error or a mistake that was completely not intended, don't beat yourself up. Get back on the horse, or not the horse, as it were. Don't leave the horses alone. Get back on the metaphorical horse. It's fine. Move on. You're doing your best. And two, B, I should say, it's never been easier to go vegan, as my mother so rightly pointed out there. But on occasion, it might be hard. But sometimes things that are worth doing are hard.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah, no one ever said it was going to be easy. It is
absolutely.
It is difficult sometimes, like, you know, especially like if you're traveling somewhere out of where you would normally travel and you haven't got access to the supermarkets that you'd normally visit and all that kind of thing. Yeah, it is hard, but that's the thing. That's why we do it. We do it because we want to make a difference, not because it's easy.
Absolutely.
And here's the rub as well. I think when you do the research, it's like Jason and I have been to Kefalonia twice. Completely in love with the island. It's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to in my life. But we did the research before we went, and we found all these little places that did vegan stuff and had vegan menus, and we ate like kings so much that the second year we went back said we need to do a video guide to Kefalonia, show people where all these places are, and we did that on our YouTube channel. But if you do the research, what's that fantastic website called where you can find out?
Happy Cow. Was it that one?
Happy Cow. Brilliant website. So if you're going somewhere on holiday, you can always look. And, you know, hopefully nowadays you won't have to survive on chips and salad. But if you do, it'll do you good, Martha, for a week.
Nothing wrong with chips. Not another bag of chips. No, bring it on.
Indeed.
Nothing wrong with that.
Who's your vegan inspiration? You can say each other if you want, or anybody else, that's fine.
Or any podcasts that you might
or podcast hosts, yeah. Imagine that.
Well, I mean, Why I Vegan podcast, of course, is fantastic.
Why I Vegan. There are great rivals.
Yeah, I actually don't listen to many podcasts or even watch many I do have a very inspiring person, the Viet Vegan, Lisa. Ooh. She has a fantastic YouTube channel. She's not doing so as much as she used to anymore because her and a fella have had a little Bean. We don't know who Bean is. She's a Canadian, but originally her parents are from Vietnam. She does incredible cooking videos, very chaotic shopping vlogs. She's really down to earth and beautiful. I actually did an interview with her on Those Vegan Guys channel. We chatted for well over, I could have chatted to her for days, seriously. She's just a beautiful human being, a really good down-to-earth person, and there is not one of her vlogs I haven't enjoyed. So her.
Well, that's good.
Be a vegan.
I love that. Okay, awesome.
I'm going to go for the Miss World answer, which is, aside from my mother, obviously, my fabulous drug mother, who continues genuinely to be a source of inspiration and friendship to me every day, I'm going to say anybody who has the courage to go vegan and make the right choice, they're my inspirations.
Perfect.
I love that.
Oh, she's just made herself queen of new vegans, hasn't she?
Exactly. Why do you think I let you speak first?
To undermine my authority.
He's done you up like a kipper there. Oh, whatever the vegan equivalent of a kipper is, I'm not sure.
I'll answer first next time, love. I'll let you have the final word on the next.
So, one thing that I forgot to ask earlier, I mentioned that you said about anyone who wasn't vegan in the when we were at VCO and when you were on the stage there. Is that something that you bring into your act when you're not at Vegan Camp Out? I know you're obviously the vegan queens, but is it...
every single time without fail. And particularly, we have this little thing going on between us. So, like, we'll go on, we'll introduce ourselves. I'm Gemini, and my husband, together we're the vegan queens, blah, 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 blah. And then I'll launch straight away. Why are we vegan? Well, it means everything we eat, everything on my face, on my feet, is fully vegan. Why? Have you seen how horrible we are to animals? I want you to have a look at this, everybody out there, because and particularly at Pride festivals, this is great, because I always say, here we are fighting against oppression, and look what we're doing. Look what we're doing to the animals. And then she'll say, right, that's the political part of the act over with. So let's go on with the first number.
Yeah, defo. Oh, it's like a little double act, kind of not good cop, bad cop, because we're both good cops. You know what I mean? But it sort of disarms people who might take a little bit of umbrage when you do get political. It's sort of unbiased. Yeah. So you get the message out there and then you go, ha, and there's a punchline. You know what I mean? So it's quite a time-honored thing, but then people still think about it afterwards.
Yes.
So,
yeah, the seed is planted, isn't it?
Yeah.
People mention it to us like when we come off stage and they'll say, thank you for saying that. You've made me think, actually. And then they might ask, where can I get vegan makeup? And I'm like, Super Drug Girls, one down road. Run.
Yeah. One don't walk.
Not in those heels.
So our last questions, ladies, is something that we always sort of build it up to this. So last year we found out about the term Vistopia, about living in vegans living in a carnist world, and the I can't remember the word,
anguish,
the anguish we feel in that realm. So do you two have any hope for the future? Stuart, I'm coming to you first because you said you would.
I did say that. My own words come back to haunt me. I'm genuinely hopeful. I think, you know, as a species, I think we're capable of amazing things. So I have to hope that, you know, somewhere along the line, it will click for everyone, and that the people who make the big decisions up top, whoever's running this gaff, are eventually going to make the right choices. But, you know, if not, maybe it's down to us, you know, the everyday people, if you will, to make those choices and demand those changes in our society. So, yeah, I'm hopeful. I think to go on, you have to keep hope, don't you, in the face of whatever.
Yeah.
Go on then, Dazzle.
That's a big sigh.
Yeah, that's a world-weary sigh.
No, yeah, it is a world-weary sigh, because I think once the world acknowledges and tackles the fact that there is a real thing that is anger addiction. People are addicted to being angry because it's the easiest thing to do. That's made me angry. How dare you? And it's such an easy default to go to. I think once we own and acknowledge anger addiction, once people are comfortable either going inside themselves or stepping outside themselves and seeing who they are and what they do in this world and how that contributes, and really doing the research. And because here's the rub, I've been doing a lot of research for my little shorts recently. Did you know that in 2021 alone, 83 billion land animals were slaughtered on Earth? That's not including sea life, because then it gets into stupid numbers.
Yeah.
83. Now, that's come from the United Nations. They're not vegan. They don't have an agenda. That's just a factual statement that 83 billion land animals were slaughtered in 2021. Then you go over to panda.org, which is the official website of the WWF. Again, they're not vegan, but they're an ecological company. They care about the earth. And they've got all this information on there saying, we know this is uncomfortable for you to read, but animal agriculture is destroying the rainforests. They are being destroyed to create grazing grounds for animals. And then 80% of the soy grown on earth is fed to those animals to fatten them up for human consumption. And there are children starving.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And once all these things, and that's the thing, you've got to be open to it. You've got to be willing to listen to the organizations that have done the research. They know more than us.
Mm-hmm.
They're not vegan. They're just saying, this is the way it is. Mm-hmm. And then you own your part in that. I've waffled, I'm sorry. But that 83 billion is burned into my brain. It's just burned into my brain. I think once we own our collective responsibility for the planet we live on and the future generations, once we learn how to plant trees we will never sit under. Oh, that one makes me
laugh. Oh, that's a great one. I love that.
Yeah.
Then the world can change. But first, we've got to own that anger addiction, because it is the barrier politically, personally.
Yeah,
it's the default, and people need to own that. So there you go.
Yes. Oh, thank I love you. That.
That's amazing.
That's very good.
I think you changed you again there, Stuart. I think you've been buried with the answers there, man.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. I love you, Martha.
I love you too. I love you too.
Oh, listen, you too. Thank you so much. It's been amazing.
That's been an absolute blast. Thank you so much. And thanks for joining us. And thank you for giving up your whole evening to talk to us.
Thank you for having us. It's been really, really nice to have a chat. And make sure that you send us the link when this is up, because we'll share it across all our Those Vegan Guys and the Vegan Queens platforms. Make sure that everyone has a good listen. But it's always lovely to chat to brother souls.
I like that, brothers. We're brother souls. Would we say that you're brother souls as well, or sister souls?
Both.
I like sister souls. Of course. Let's do sister souls, because it sounds like Sister Sledge, and I quite like that.
We'll go with that. Okay. We'll go with that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, cheers.
We'll see you guys at Vegan Camp Out 2024.
We'll do a personal appearance on the stage, and I don't know what we'll do. What will we do, Wes? Like beard care or something?
I don't know. Beard care.
Well, you've both got beards. Can I recommend that you practice a ZZ Top tune?
Yeah, I've got some way to go to get a ZZ Top beard, but we'll give it a go.
Oh, cheers, fantastic. Guys. Thank you.
That's
so
great.
Much.
Thank you.
Wow, that was as fun as I thought it was going to be.
That was fantastic, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Great guests. I wish we could have them on every week. Absolute.
Legends.
Superstars. Legends. Yeah. Superstars. Struggling to find the words.
It was brilliant. No. And I know you said like it'd be good to have them on every week, but there was
so much more I wanted to talk to them about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much more. But there we go. Maybe when we'll get a chat with them after Vegan Camp Out next year, after the cabaret tent.
Hopefully, yeah.
But there we go. That was fantastic. Hopefully, the listener has enjoyed that as much as we have.
Yes.
And if you have, why not tell us about it? Why not tell us about it? Send us an email.
And how would they do that, Matthew? How would they tell us?
What you would do is you would go to your email app on your phone. You would compose a new email, and in the two in the two section, you would type howiveganpodcast@gmail.com. And wow. You would type in the title, love the Vegan Queens episode. And then in the text, you would type ditto. Send. And that would be it.
Yeah. And then also you could put a little PS and say, I want to come on as well. Can I be a guest? And that would be great.
Yeah. Yep. Or why don't you ask such and such? Why don't you ask such and such question? Because that's something I've really been interested in, et cetera, yes. et cetera.
That would be good.
All that stuff.
Cool. So, well, thank you. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time.